What do the Boston Celtics need to do to win Game 6 and force a Game 7? Plus, how much of a factor is fatigue really? And I've got some words for those of you who are especially frustrated, and it's all right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Be ever ready. Recognize the city of champs. Boston, baby, we do what you can't. Locked on number 18, Tatum and Brown, J-team. Step back, we gon' wet that and slay teams. Of course, the Celtics, who else could it be? Screaming like KG with the Larry O.B. Corrales above average, assessing the team status. Best daily pod, no cap, salary matching. Clutch like Bird to DJ, keep John on replay. Prime time, dapping up the truth on the sideline. Raining J's, how it started, raising banners, how we finished. Locked on Celtics, pod, home of the winners.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you so much for making this show part of your daily routine. This show is Monday through Friday, and I'll tack on a few extra days if the Celtics can force a Game 7 and send it back to San Francisco. I will podcast over the weekend for you, because that's what I do. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. I've written a book called Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, and I was one of the media voters for the Celtics 75th anniversary team. This podcast is free. It's available everywhere you get your podcasts. The show is on YouTube, closing in on 7,000 subscribers on YouTube, trying to get to 7,500 by the end of the season. We're running out of time. So if you're new, please smash that subscribe button. Make sure that you're liking the videos, that you're commenting on the videos, everything that we need to do to feed that algorithm. So later on, I wrote a piece on Boston Sports Journal that it comes off as a, hey, the good season type of piece. And it there's certainly a tinge of, you know, hey, if this is how it goes out, we got to make sure we give these guys their proper respect. And I think it's an important thing to talk about right now, because I feel like there's a lot of frustration that's boiling over. And it's just reaching a point, like we've crossed the normal point of frustration for what this team is. I'll talk about that in the third segment. In the second segment, the fatigue factor, it's true. It is what it is. And I do think that the fatigue, look, if Ime is mentioning it in the post game, then that's very clearly a reason. Ime doesn't say things just to say things. If there's one thing I learned about Ime Udoka in his first season, is that he doesn't BS us. If he says something in his media availability, because there's meaning to it. So fatigue, yeah, fatigue's a factor. First, though, let's throw that aside. The Celtics are facing the Warriors in Game 6, and Lord knows how this is going to go. Celtics could win by 40, they can lose by 40, and everything in between, it's all possible, and I don't think I'd be surprised by any of it, because we've seen the Warriors in positions to close series and completely fall apart and lose by a ton. They were down by 50 to the Memphis Grizzlies. Probably not likely, but hey, we've seen it before. We've seen the Warriors just catch fire. This could be the game where everybody catches fire. Could be the game where Klay drops 50. Could be the one where Steph drops 50. Maybe they'll both score 50. Who knows? But the Celtics are going to be trying to win this game. And they want to win a championship. Despite how it might look, despite how it might come off, despite them making some of the same mistakes over and over again, they do actually want to win a championship. And so the answer is very simple, but how do they avoid the turnovers? How do they just say, you know what? We're done with this. We're done with this mess. How do we avoid this? And I look at this series kind of as a microcosm of this season, where a lot of the talk is, yeah, turnovers and bad offense and a lot of old habits coming back. A lot of the questions are about, hey, you guys seem to be reverting or regressing or something. The old habits are coming back. So I say, you treat game five like the January loss to the Knicks, where you had the lead, you gave it away. RJ Barrett hits the game winner in Jason Tatum's face. And the Celtics all point to that game as that's the day we said, you know what? We're done with this. We're done with the blown leads. We're done with the questions. We're done with the mediocrity. So treat game six as if it's that first game after the Knicks loss. Treat this series like a microcosm of this season, where you have some blown leads, you have a couple of bad feelings after losses, and you have now the opportunity to say, you know what, we're going to turn things around. How do the Celtics avoid the turnovers? It's about getting off the ball sooner. It's about Tatum. Actually, I'm going to contradict Kendrick Perkins, who said the other day, Tatum needs to go out there and make it all about him. I'm going to say, actually, no, that's not true. The Celtics' strength is in their shared actions, sharing the ball, moving the ball, and no one being above the team. And I think if they do this, you'll see Tatum and Brown naturally rise to the top. This is how a basketball team is supposed to work. It's not about we've designated Tatum as number one and designated Brown as number two. That's not what the Celtics, that's not what a great basketball team is. It's not about designating. It's about playing basketball the right way. And naturally, the best of the best will rise to the top. So how do the Celtics avoid the turnovers? Get off the ball sooner. Set whatever your actions are supposed to be, do it with precision. Everybody make a pact. Everybody get together in that locker room. Players only meeting, however you want to deem it, some dinner, bowling, a movie, whatever it is. Get together and talk and say, you know what? It's not about any one of us anymore. It's about moving the ball. We're all equals. We're all the same player. There was a point where we talked about nameless, faceless opponents. Let's talk about nameless, faceless teammates. It doesn't matter who the teammate is. He's open. Give him the ball. And he makes a play. Whoever is out there, are you going small? Are you starting small? I can see the potential for starting Derek White and just going small, having Al come off the bench. I can see the potential for a move like that. I can also see the potential, because of the fatigue and all that stuff, for Ime to say, you know what? We're going fresh legs. We're going Glenn McDonald over here in the 76 finals. We're going Aaron Nesmith. We're going one of these guys on the bench, whoever it is, Sam Hauser, one of these guys who's fresh. We're going with the energy, and we're going to say, sick them. Get out there and just bludgeon the Warriors with your energy and your speed, and we'll worry about the results later. But just hit them with a speed and an energy that they're not used to. Just for 5 minutes, try it. You know what I mean? That stuff can be something that Ime throws in there. But it's most important that the Celtics go out there and match the Warriors' energy, because the Warriors are going to come out with high energy. Match that. Be ready for that. Be prepared for that little something extra. Give it that little something extra yourself. Know that you only have two games left. Two games left. That's it. Your season is over on Monday. That's it. Next Tuesday, a week from when I record, as I'm recording this, you've got 5 days left starting tomorrow. Just, that's it. Give it everything you've got. But nameless, faceless teammates, just whoever's there, get it to that person. That person makes the next right play. and gets it to the next person. And that next person makes that next right play. And it just has to be precision. It has to be team basketball. It just can't be isolation anymore at all. No more mismatch hunting. No more, we're going to make Curry work. None of that stuff. You're just going to naturally find the guy by moving the ball, moving yourself, cutting when you have cutting opportunities. Just find that next right guy. Eventually, the ball will find the right person. The basketball gods reward the energy. Find that next right person. That person will find a way to the hoop. When that person finds a way to the hoop, if that person's driving from the top, cut baseline. If that person's driving baseline, cut from the top. If that person's cutting diagonally, find a way to give that person an outlet somewhere to pass so that person can make the next right play. And if there's a lane to the hoop, you take it. If there's an open shot, you take it. Go out. If you're going to go out, and Ime will, I guarantee you he'll say this. If we're going to go out, we're going to go out our way. And that's it. If the Warriors win, so be it. You play your best and you just hope for the best. And you say, we gave it our all. If the Warriors win, they're better. But you can only get that if you know that you've given your all, you've done the right things. That's how they win this game. That's how you limit the turnovers. That's how you get your offense going. Defense, I don't care about. I do not care about the Celtics defense. No one asked me about the Celtics defense. It doesn't matter how they defend Steph Curry. Doesn't matter how they defend Andrew Wiggins. Doesn't matter how they defend Klay Thompson. The Celtics have consistently given up between 100 and 107. The point totals, game one, 108, 107, game two, 100, game three, 107, game four, 104, game five. That's the Warriors' point totals. That's consistent. You know what you're getting with the Celtics defense. That's fine. That is fine. 108, fine. Run that offense. The Celtics in their wins put up 120 and 116. You can score these points against this defense. You can. You can. The question is, do they have the legs to pull this off? Do they? Some compelling numbers up next that suggest maybe they don't. First, let's talk about Prize Picks. If you're looking for a daily fantasy option that includes the NBA, then you need to try the award-winning app Prize Picks. It's daily fantasy made easy. A lot of people have told me how much they love this app. I'm telling you, you're going to love it too. A couple of games left in the NBA, but obviously this goes beyond the NBA because you can get into baseball. You can get into MMA. You can get into anything you want. But for now, you can also go through NBA. You pick 2 to 5 players and over-under based on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. You can make these picks in 60 seconds or less. It's just you against the projected numbers. It's not you against an expert or a supercomputer or anything like that. It's safe. You get fast withdrawals. It's just you against the over-unders. It's very simple. The award-winning app is on the App Store and Google Play, so no excuses. You can find it. Any prop you can think of, mixed sport entries, you can do Jason Tatum's assists and Rafael Devers hits. You can do that on Prize Picks. You can mix it up. You can get into college. You can get into soccer. You can get into the fights, anything. For a limited time, Prize Picks has an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all of our listeners. Users get $50 free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores one single point, but you have to use the code NBA. This is free money. It's an exclusive offer for Locked On fans. Sign up today and use the code NBA, $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point. Thanks for making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. Let's make Locked On Ultimate NBA Mock Draft your second listen, and it starts tomorrow with the first pick, the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft with over 50 insiders. Nothing equals the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft. It has Locked On NBA Big Board Draft Experts plus Odyssey Insiders. First pick is tomorrow, June 16th. Make sure you search Ultimate NBA Mock Draft and follow now so you don't miss a pick. Fatigue is a big storyline coming out of this game, especially when Jason Tatum has a bunch of misses, a bunch of air balls to finish the game against the game five in Golden State. It's very obvious that he's tired. It's very obvious. Now, question is, can you persevere? Can you get through that fatigue? But Henry Abbott at True Hoop, you may know him already. Very great follow. He has a Substack so you can subscribe to, which is definitely worth it. Has a Twitter thread that I'm going to read from heavily. And he makes a very strong case, but you can follow him at True Hoop. He has all of this information. But basically, the suggestion that Tatum is tired is not beyond beyond comprehension, where he talked to a physiologist who said that in any two-week period, elite athletes can withstand five max efforts. That's five max efforts, and there's a link there to read more. But five max efforts is basically one in almost every three days, and that's the way Tatum has been going. He's been going past that. He has slowed down. His actual speed during games has slowed down. He's not dunking like he used to. He's not playing with the same speed. And he has logged a tremendous amount of minutes. He is the NBA leader in minutes. Him, Jaylen Brown, and Al Horford all have more than 750 minutes in the playoffs. Next, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Andrew Wiggins all have less than 750. That is a lot of minutes, and especially for Horford, you can see him starting to slow down too. But Tatum and Brown, especially, Tatum is even bigger at a bigger workload. He is the 30th most playoff minutes of all time. Again, Ime admitted to that. He said fatigue could be a part of some of the decision-making and what we're seeing out there. Well, if Ime is saying it, like I said, then I believe he's telling us these guys are tired. And it's not an excuse. I think it's part of it is actually a more criticism of the Celtics than anything, because the Celtics had two opportunities in prior rounds to finish series sooner. They could have finished the Heat in six. Instead, they had to go seven. And not only go seven, but a blown lead in game seven that made it force the Celtics to just keep everybody on the floor. They had a blown game in the Milwaukee series where they went down 3-2 instead of being up 3-2. Now, who knows? Maybe they still would have finished that series in seven, but they had a real opportunity to finish that in six, and they didn't. So they went down because they blew that game. Now, the cumulative effect of those losses, not only is it playing two more games, it's missing out on 3 or 4 or 5 days rest in between, because instead of playing that game and going to the next series, getting the rest and going to the next series, they have to keep playing, and you don't have as much rest going into the next series. So that hurt them. To go in and have to win they have to beat the Bucks in seven, Heat in seven, and Warriors in seven. If the Celtics can pull this off, man, that would be one of the most amazing runs that any team has had. To go out there and beat all three of those teams, the defending champs, the number one seed, and the return of the Warriors, that would be an unbelievable run. They're still capable of this. They're still capable. But it's much, much, much more difficult. And I think we're seeing the miles pile up. Tatum, think about what Tatum has gone through over the past couple years. You had the bubble. That started in what, 2020? Right? They had three seasons in 2 years. You go to the bubble, the Celtics are one of the final four teams. They struggle. There's a short turnaround there. Short turnaround that season. All of a sudden, you start in December. And then there's all the COVID stuff. And then that team gets to the playoffs. You have a, you know, you lose in the playoffs. And then Tatum immediately goes, basically, almost immediately goes to Team USA and has training camp and plays in the Olympics. So he's playing competitive basketball. He's not off his feet. He's not getting rest. He's not on vacation. He's playing competitive basketball. That goes through July. And now, short turnaround again, comes back into this season. This season is all about playing big minutes for Ime. And that has carried his way through till now. The formula for the Celtics winning has been riding Jason Tatum. And yeah, I know he's 24. I know he's 24. And I know how much money he gets paid. I know exactly how much money he gets paid. But that doesn't change your physiology. Doesn't change anything. Even though he's 24, you still get tired at 24. You still, the miles add up. And yeah, you can recover better, and he's an elite athlete, and so he can bounce back faster, but it adds up. And we're finally seeing, we're finally starting to see over the past game, two games, what that means. That Tatum's legs have been just at the end of games, it's not there. He doesn't have it. Meanwhile, the Warriors, hey, kudos to them. They took care of business in their playoff run. They took care of business. They didn't go seven at all. They had plenty of time to rest. They're a deeper team. They're more constructed to be in this position. It's the other thing. The Celtics aren't supposed to be in the NBA Finals right now. They were never built to be a finalist this year. So there's the bench help is thin. It's not there. Those guys aren't ready for this moment yet. And you just got to hope that they can put it together enough to find a way. Maybe they can find their way through. But right now, it's pretty clear that the team with finals experience that's deeper, that's been constructed to make a run to the finals and understands what a run to the finals means and can keep Curry's minutes down to a point. Like, Curry didn't play at the beginning of the fourth quarter in game five. That helps. That helps. You know, you can play Poole and Wiggins and you know, whoever, like you Porter, and you can go deeper into your bench and get contributions. That's the Warriors are built to play for a deep run. They took care of business earlier. They're fresher. They're deeper. That's it. Celtics aren't as deep, and they've gone seven games twice. We're seeing the effect. The Celtics didn't take care of business soon enough. So this is the price you pay. This is the price you pay. It's just now up to them to say, all right, we got to find a way past that. Is there a reserve somewhere in there that they can find their way and get past this fatigue? I think the fatigue is a real, real factor. I'll continue this and try to, I guess, I don't know, ease some of the tension that's been out there for a lot of Celtics fans. I will say this, BetOnline has the Celtics at minus 3.5. So they're 3.5-point favorites at home. At least the bookies believe that the Celtics can go out there and win this game. So that's something. And I'm not saying the Celtics can't win this game. I think they can. So if you believe they can, maybe you want to go to BetOnline and give BetOnline a look for all of your gambling needs, because it is your number one source for all betting stats and sports info. For the latest developments, news, odds, including the NBA Finals, NHL Stanley Cup Finals, Major League Baseball, the fights, MMA, UFC, boxing, whatever fights you want to watch, it's all there. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information. You have live betting at BetOnline. You can bet in-game stuff. You can bet on esports if you want to do that. Sure, why not? Head on over to the website. Use your mobile device if you'd like. Learn about the trends in action. Bet online is where the game starts. Please gamble responsibly. So as I alluded to in the prior segment, the Celtics are in a position here that they really weren't supposed to be in. This was always supposed to be an evaluation year. This was always supposed to be a season where Brad Stevens tried to figure out, okay, do we need a third star? Are we putting a package together for a third star? Or is this team with Tatum and Brown and some pieces here that we can add to, but is this team kind of put together well enough with some extra help to make a finals run? Well, you're in the finals now. It's game five, game six. You've had a lead in the NBA finals. So I think the evaluation is, yeah, you can go with Tatum, you can go with Brown, and you don't need to cash all the chips in for a third star. You know, you don't need to go Robert Williams and Marcus Smart and, you know, whatever, you know, that whatever package it is of picks and all of that. So you don't need to necessarily do that. The Celtics can use their picks differently, and they can trade a first round pick for a guy. They can go find some help and say, hey, we've got first round picks now. We can trade. They preserve their ability to make a lot of different moves with the Derek White trade, the way it was structured, with the Al Horford trade, the way it was structured. But that doesn't help them now. This was a team that was supposed to probably get to the second round. Honestly, the fact that they were able to come back from 3-2 against Milwaukee probably was like, oh, wow. All right. Okay. Ime's a better coach than we expected in his first season. This was the found money. Then you go up against Miami and you catch a little bit of a break because of, you know, injuries and whatnot, and they're not ready, and they're, you know, whatever, you win that series, you hold them off in game seven. You say, wow, okay, this is incredible. This is all found money. So I think it's important. I do think it's important for the Celtics, for us to look at what these guys have accomplished and look at how much they have overachieved, considering that they were at one point underachieving greatly in this season. I think it is important perspective right now as we sit here and scream at our TVs and, you know, put our hands up over our head and go, why are they doing this? Why can't they make a pass? What is going on? All of that stuff that normals, like, I'm not trying to gatekeep how you are a fan. You know, people are pissed off. That's what you do in sports. As part of the beauty of sports is pouring your emotion into the team and getting pissed off or way happy if they lose or win, if they win this thing. And again, they certainly can win this thing. I know how I sound. I know that I sound somewhat on the defeated side of things because it doesn't look good. I'm just being honest with you. It doesn't look good for these guys. So the Warriors, you know, despite, you know, I stand by my belief that if both teams play their best, the Celtics would win, but that's not what the finals are. It's not what the finals are. And so, yeah, there's a little bit of, like, as someone, one of the commenters on Boston Sports Journal says, you know, preparing Celtics fans for a soft landing if this thing doesn't go well on Thursday night. Sure. There's a little bit of that, but more so it's the people who are way over the top. And I think, who still feel like, oh, this team has no heart, or, oh, this team doesn't know how to win. Like, okay, just because they're at this point, and if they do lose game six, even if they lose game six by 40, that has nothing to do with their heart, nothing at all. Like, I want to make sure that whatever happens, I want to say this now before we get to a point where they win and say, oh my God, their heart. Oh my God. No, that heart is there now. It's there. It exists in this moment. I want to make sure that that's understood, because these guys do have the heart. They did win two game sevens. They did get to this point. They overachieved. This is where, this is beyond everybody's expectations. No one expected these guys to be two wins away from a championship right now in this season. Turnaround or not, no matter how that first half of the season went, the second half of the season went, no one expected that. That was never the goal. That was never the expectation. And here we are. And so I feel like dialing it back just a touch. And I know the frustration is out there, and express your frustration, but also understand that these guys really do want to win. They really, honestly, are probably a little too desperate to try to figure out how to win. They want this title. They want this title. You can't say they don't want it. You can't say they don't have the heart. You can't say that they don't know how to win. They do know how to win. They got to the freaking NBA Finals. They do know how to win. They do have the heart. What they don't have is the experience, the depth, and maybe at this point, the legs. And if they do win this, they're overcoming a significant amount. If they can win this, if they can pull this off on Thursday and go to San Francisco and win on Monday and give us all a parade, it will be one of the most spectacular playoff runs in Celtics history. Unexpected twists and turns, ups and downs. The lows are really low. Like, this would be one of the most spectacular stories in basketball. The fact that these guys would pull this off in the face of, especially now, down 3-2 to the Warriors, to go back there and win game seven on the road. That would be amazing. I don't want to wait until that happens to praise these guys for their heart and their determination and all of that. I want to do it now, because now's when they deserve to have their flowers, right? This is where they deserve some of that praise. They're heading into this game six. I don't know what's going to happen. And they could win that game. They're favored to win that game. They have the talent to win the game. They can do it. I'm not counting them out. But because I don't know how it's going to go, I think now is a good time to understand that these guys do have all of those intangibles. Just sometimes you don't win. And they didn't win game five. And if they don't win game six, it has nothing to do with any of those intangibles. If they don't win game six, it's just because the Warriors were better. They were just better. And that's it. We'll see what happens game six. Like I said, I really don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen. They could win by 40. They could lose by 40. I will be there at practice. The Celtics are practicing at the TD Garden on Wednesday. Last game at the Garden on Thursday. That's it. This thing is over. This season is over. It's less than a week to go, which means this beard is over. This scraggly beard is coming off, everybody. Those of you who are watching on YouTube, this scraggly mess of Greek sponge, this salt and pepper sponge is coming off. And I'm going to have some fun with it. I will on Twitter at @John_Corrales and at LO Celtics for the podcast page, where you should be following at least the LO Celtics, because that's how I make announcements in case there's a show that doesn't, whatever. If there's, I use Twitter as the announcement feed. So, but follow me at @John_Corrales. What I'm going to do is I'm going to set up like a fundraiser, a charity fundraiser. Probably for, I haven't decided yet. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you all pick the style. I'll do one show once the season is over. I'll do one show with however you want me to shave the beard. Do you want me to just do a mustache? Do you want me to do the big biker mustache? You want me to do big mutton chops? Like, you know, the old like Martin Van Buren, big bushy mutton chops. You want that? Whatever. You want just the, you want me to do like a metal, like cut just this small part out of my chin. However we want to do it, I'll set up a poll. If we can raise enough money for charity, I will do one show on YouTube with the beard shaved into whatever shape wins. So we'll figure it out. I will give you one shape. The Starburns, the old community Starburns, if I can figure that out, I will do it. I don't know how to, that's a lot of work. I shouldn't have said Starburns because I feel like that's going to win now. But however you want to do it, I'm going to use it as an opportunity to raise some money. So watch for that on Twitter. Come up with some ideas. Hit me up with some ideas. Maybe some of my favorites I'll throw on there in the poll. In the meantime, I'll be back talking basketball after the practice tomorrow and after game 6, my final podcast from the Garden either way. And then if they win, I will go to San Francisco. I will fly there on Friday. You'll have Friday night and Saturday night. I will do podcasts. Sunday night. Yeah. Do a podcast for Monday. And then Monday will be the post game celebration or whatever. That's how the podcast is going to work this week. Then I go back onto my normal schedule Monday through Friday. So make sure you're subscribed wherever you get your podcasts, free and available everywhere they exist. And of course, as I've been saying, shows on YouTube. So make sure you're watching the show on YouTube and help me figure out the beard thing. If you are a regular subscriber, please help me get to that 7,500 before the season ends and we have to turn our attention to free agency, which, by the way, is only a couple of weeks away. Oh my God, free agency is around the corner. Another big thing for the Celtics. Please share the podcast. Tell your friends. Tell everybody. Tell the whole world they should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network.